You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
us with your knife. I'm running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. there's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. And it is Wednesday. You got to get over the hump. So I hope you get a chance to do all the things you should do, must do, can do, and will do, hoping the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, it is, if it's not, and it has to get done, it must be done, it will get done because you will get it done. You won't procrastinate. You'll make sure you handle your business. It gets done. And that's why we appreciate you, because that's the thing. You know, we need to get things done. Don't haggle about it. Don't wrangle about it. Don't discuss it all the time. Just get it done. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku, who's always on the case. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, on Mondays from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern, is Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Dr. Kamal Kamban and their daughter, Nataki Kamban. That's followed from 9 to 10 on first and third Mondays with Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Thursday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Thursdays, Mississippi on the Move, the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move. And then on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays. Saturdays from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday from 7 until on Sunday, once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We buy black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com, brothers and sisters. A fine array of products that are produced and sold by us. If we don't support it, who will? And you know that. I ain't got to tell you that. All right. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans with Bamani Tahimba. He's leaving next month, the 17th through the 28th, to beautiful Tanzania. To this morning, some sisters scaled Mount Kilimanjaro. There were 14 of them, but two of them had to go back because of the losing oxygen up in the altitude, something that probably would have happened to me. Damn it, because I would love to have done that. But the group started out with 14 and 12 of them made it. And it's just beautiful. And they were on the CBS News this morning. And beautiful young sisters from the ages of the mid-30s all the way up to 55. So right on. So he's going to Tanzania November 17th through the 28th.
of this year for $4,000. December 24th to January 5th, 2023 for $4,000, Ghana. March 30th to April 10th, 2023, $3,800, Senegal and Gambia. May 24th to June 5th, 2023, $4,000, Ghana. July 20th to July 30th, 2023, $4,200, Rwanda. November 16th to the 27th, 2023, $4,000, Tanzania. December 24th to January 4th, 2024, $4,200, South Africa. March 29th through April 19th, 2024, $3,800, Liberia. Those are the trips upcoming, and of course, things do change. Itineraries change, even prices change. But he has been very consistent in trying to keep prices low. Even the trip to Senegal and Gambia is only $3,800. So, brothers and sisters, go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. When you go to the website, everything you need is right there. The information, the documentation, the visas, the shots, all that information is right there for you. Even if you don't go on one of the tours that he has scheduled, you know, go to the site for the help to help yourself. Africa for the African. Brothers and sisters, if you want to see photos, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to youtube.com/Bomani 2007, 2007. And of course, the number to call to talk to Brother Bomani Tayemba, 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. Habesha Incorporated.org. Habesha stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. The work that Habesha has done is phenomenal. Go to the website, Habesha Incorporated.org. You know, they had the Kashi Project last week on the 15th. They should be back. I'm looking forward to seeing information and a lot of other things that came out of that. It's really beautiful. It was the 15th of last of a week ago. And the workshops include agriculture, earth building, medical herbs, solar installations, and so forth. Brothers and sisters, Habesha Incorporated.org. LEDGE, the LEDGE Group. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. They deal in the four areas of human existence: food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 countries on the continent, with over 170 employed and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the LEDGE Group, theledgegroup.com. Abibi Atumi. Abibi Atumi, A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I, abibiatumi.com. They have a music, they have the African musician Hess Keeler, understanding the music of the Moise of Northern Ghana. Descriptions. Do not miss this inspirational presentation as master musician and multi-talented artist, Bilal Ishirui, I can't pronounce it, discusses the healing and empowering elements of the Mose music. Join us for an in-depth discussion and a lively musical demonstration. That's going to be the 29th. That is this weekend at 3 o'clock Ghana time. Okay, so that's 5 hours. They are 5 hours ahead, 3 o'clock Ghana time. The African musician Hess Keeler, understanding the music of Northern Ghana. And, of course, there's other stuff on the website for Abibi Atumi. Become a member. Make it a favorite, Abibi Atumi. A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I, abibiatumi.com. Oh, Mama Nabantu said her daughter hiked up Kilimanjaro, April this year, with a group of 20 plus American African people. Well, they CBS chose to highlight these 14 sisters, the sisters at the summit, you know. But wow, that's beautiful. So maybe we can talk about it, Mama Nabantu, once I'm done with this stuff. And I will talk with you in a minute. Thank you, Baba. Mama Nabantu, thank you. Where are we at now? Ah, Smai Pharmacy. SMAIFARMMAY. Smai Pharmacy. Brothers and sisters, contact Brother Jabril at 731-327-6229. That's 731-327-6229 at Smai Pharmacy. If you want to have a change in the way that your health is, what you're eating, what you're ingesting, what you're taking, and try to get away from prescription drugs and so forth, contact Brother Jabril. If you want to give him an email, Smai Pharmacy at SMAIFARMACY at gmail.com. That's SMAIFARMACY at gmail.com. Smai Pharmacy. The water issue in Jackson, Mississippi. I saw a presentation on the national news yesterday. Of course, what Brother Moses is doing was not mentioned, of course. I don't expect that. You know, he only has one machine down there anyway. And what they talked about was the failure of the state of Mississippi and the city of Jackson, you know, to deal with the water crises early on, you know. But the bottom line is we have a brother, Moses West, who is dealing with the issue head on. And the more people that donate, the more possibility you can make those machines, have them strategically placed. And the issue of water for the city of Jackson, which is about 150,000, I believe they said it was, can be remedied. And there's still issues. There's still water issues. But the, you know, the water, the fresh water and so forth, you know. Okay. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta on Ralph David Abernathy, with delicious smoothies and fruit drinks and pastries, health food items, many health food items. On weekends, they have, on Saturday and Sunday, vegan food that they sell, you know. So contact Wadada's across the street from Soul Vegetarian, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. So check out Wadada's. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. They have a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, and all kinds of good stuff at the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Contact Mama Nia at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located in Lithonia, east of here, right off of I-20, Interstate 20, going east from Atlanta. And Brother Gazimde Ajamu has been doing a great job. This place is, man, I tell you, he's done great work there. So give him a contact at 770-305-6373. That's 770-305-6373. Brothers and sisters, there is light in the Black Dot. The new Black Wall Street Market, the next exit after the exit for the Black Dot, is exit 75, Turner Hill Road. And you exit right, and you make a right onto Turner Hill Road, go down three lights and make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. I haven't been there, and I keep saying I'm going to go this weekend, or one of these weekends, so I can give you an honest report about the progress that is being made at the new Black Wall Street Market in terms of the other stores that are there, a number of things. So I want to definitely do that. Of course, I'm quite sure they want to do that, too, because the big money spending season is rapidly approaching. So I know they want to make sure they're ready, you know, for that. The big money spending venture, you know. So, Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa. Us Lifting Us. Their Thursday night broadcast is every Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. That's Blog blacktalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us, their Thursday night broadcast. If you want to call to give questions, comments, or concerns, or just to listen, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop located in Macon, Georgia. Brother Abijah is doing a great job at a place that it has it all. You know, the holistic health and beauty products, oils, incense, CDs, DVDs, books, jewelry, Pan-African fashions, clothing, furniture. Man. And they even have a vegetarian restaurant on the premise. I tell you, they have it. That's the Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, located at 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. Give Brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. The Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon. Sun Goddess Scents. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. It is inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. For more information, contact Sister Shelly Amonset at 404-434-7963. 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. And Sanjay-Haiti.org. Sister Gabby's been doing great work in the on the island of Haiti, in the northeastern portion of the island, with working with our young kids. They have, it's about education, healthcare, sustainable agriculture, and entrepreneurship. Brothers and sisters, go to Sanjay, SONJAY-HAITI.org. Believe me, they, just like all the other announcements I make, they rely on you to respond to help. So help where you can. If you can't, because of the situations, understandable. But if you can, brothers and sisters, help where you can. Akabin Institute, Baba Baruti and Mama Yah. Akabin Institute, brothers and sisters, support them. They are educating our young warriors. They don't seek any money outside of who we are. No foundation, grant, or none of that. They're independent. Akabin Institute. Make a check or money order out to Akabin Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. You can use PayPal, YAA, Baruti, BARUTI, at Yahoo. You can use Cash App, $ YAA, the letter M, and then Baruti, BARUTI. And you can make those donations that way. Also, too, you want to buy some of the books that Baba Baruti, he's a prolific writer, go to akabinhouse.com. Akabinhouse.com for the many writings of the Baba Baruti. Kibuka. Kibuka is coming next month, November 19th. Saturday, November 19th from 5 to 9. This is the 17th annual Kibuka. Kibuka is remembering the middle passage through the eyes of our ancestors. Remembering the middle passage through the eyes of our ancestors. It's a reenactment. It's going to be at the Sweet Spot, 675 Metropolitan Parkway here in Atlanta. And the donation is $20 a family, 15 a couple, 10 as an individual adult, and 5 as a child. For more information, brothers and sisters, for Kibuka, 404-753-7237. That's 404-753-7237. What's next? It's the Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. You know, sometimes I try to get through this so I can get to the Inye Sesem. I love those Baba Baruti's narratives and and the quotes of the famous people that he quotes, you know. Love it. I really do. I love it. I'm going to read three of them. One from the Inye Sesem's newest book that was out a couple years ago, and then the other one's from the first Inye Sesem. October 25th, which is yesterday, to Marie II, and then one's for today. October 25th. I would never be of any service to anyone as a slave. The manner in which I learned to read and write had a great influence on my own mind. Nat Turner. Our warrior ancestors are not decorations. Our warrior ancestors, they are not simply cute, catchy, or hard-looking images plastered on a t-shirt, signs, or books, which make us think we have a rebellious or radical story of worth without knowing it. They are not laurels from which to shout stolen glories while leaving their weapons rusting on the bloody ground. They are reminders of who we can be right here and right now. They are who we are without excuses. Given the above quote, that awareness would make who is Nana Nat Turner and why is he worthy of an African warrior's attention and to study the first question here. Why should we daily call his name and who is he to be esteemed in this way? Why should we aspire to be like him? In short, this man represents the most revolutionary of ideas. He demonstrated an uncompromised, active fearlessness, understanding that no enemy is innocent. He understood the concept of historical enemy. He had a worker's focus committed to the righteous cause of liberating his people from captivity. His vision epitomized the kind and depth of spiritual morality that we should expect from all of our warriors. He accepted the divine instructions to face and correct injustice and to permanently remove Urugu as a threat to our existence as a people. He loved us in ways most of us cannot imagine loving ourselves. He organized those who otherwise might not have known sovereignty is possible and set the warrior standard by a moving example. He never failed. He gave us something from which to learn. Affirm, I honor our foresighted revolutionary ancestors. Affirm, I honor our foresighted revolutionary ancestors. October 25th. Conscious resistance in a hostile environment of oppression cannot be viewed as radical. It is in fact a sign of moral behavior. The individual or group who does not resist when oppressed is abnormal. Keti Hadil. If they had won, you and I would never have come into existence. If they had been successful in their attempt to turn us into something less, there would be no reason to be African. The revolutionary need to return home is a power built inside our spirit. Although they did not create this internal drive toward the balance of freedom, through forcing their oppressive inflictions into our spaces, they incited us. No genius can be suppressed indefinitely. I will rise again and again and again until it is returned to its normal state of power. Ashe. Affirm, I am here because I am African. Affirm, I am here because I am African. October 26th. October 26. When the cause is just, no amount of restrictions or beatings will kill the spirit of man. John Okilo. Okello. John Okello was a revolutionary hero who led the movement to oust Europeans and Arabs from Zanzibar. What are the lessons we can learn from this phenomenal warrior who helped remove colonial yoke from his people? Several of them immediately stand out. For one, a warrior is able to stand alone without fear, question, or regret. An army is not necessary to do what the individual knows is right. Another is that warriors on the other hand, O'Kelly learned firsthand that those who serve and honor the enemy can only do things they have been told and feel safe in doing. Another is that warriors must feel a deep sense of humility about and then even debt toward their creator-given liberating mission, as well as gratitude to their people for being allowed the opportunity to fight for them. Obviously, such individuals are characteristically different from warriors. Moreover, he firmly believed that cause reveals character. Cause reveals character. Not surprisingly, he concluded that those who were the most disposed were those who were most receptive to the idea of revolution, as well as those most able to keep it a secret until the charge was called. However, even amongst the masses, the greatest impediment to waging a successful assault was confusion and petty jealousies. His final lessons here was a dear one. War has serious cost, including a heavy physical toll. And for this, one must be prepared. Ashe. Affirm, nothing of human creation can destroy the spirit of this warrior. Affirm, nothing of human creation can destroy the spirit of this warrior. Brothers and sisters, the Inye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. Yes, sir. The Inye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. You know, I really didn't finish talking about what is happening in this country and in this world as it relates to the oligarchy, you know? I really didn't finish that. Because I think one thing I try to do with this radio program is make you informed, keep you aware, let you know what's happening. You know, from an African perspective, everything is done from an African perspective. This program is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. Our motto is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. So when we present something, we're presenting it as an awareness, as something that to be cognizant of and to know what those signs might say or what people are saying and all the things that are directing us in a particular way. You know, what they're talking about in terms of the oligarchy makes you understand till we got to get out of here. In the European system, when you see these folks acting and behaving the way that they do, you know, they don't want to share. They don't want equality. They don't want anything. No. If you took a poll right now, check this out. And if you haven't checked this out, you can go to YouTube and check this out. This was Parliament Funkadelics. I don't know if this was their presentation on HBO. Many, back in the 90s, Cosmic Slop is three vignettes. And the first one was the Space Traders, where these space people made contact with Earth in various areas of on the planet, all Europeans, of course. in contacting America, what they offered was to erase America's debt. Now, somebody may mention about the debt. Oh, yeah, Brother Jay, you know, and how much the debt is. In fact, right now I've seen the calculation was that the debt is each man, woman, and child is in debt for $96,000 to the United States government. That's how much the debt is. The debt is in the trillions, you know. So the space trader said we would erase your debt, you know, clean up the environment, and do all of those things. And, of course, the question was, well, what do you want for this? They wanted melanated people. They wanted Africans. They wanted black people. They wanted Africans. Well, they told the space traders, well, in a few days we'll tell you about how, you know, if we want to do this or not. And they realized in their meetings that this is going to be kind of tough because, you know, the United States has a perception of being a country that is, you know, that's the perception, that's not the reality of in having so-called people of other cultures as a part of the overall culture of America. You know, the melting pot is other euphemisms, bull. And so they knew that it would be very difficult about giving up the people of color. But they said, well, put it to a vote. Put it to a plebiscite nationwide, you know. And you can vote from the privacy of your own home. Even though they were talking about, you know, oh, no, we want if they want us and so forth and all that kind of stuff. But the bottom line is, they said, how will these people vote in the privacy of their own home? Of course, they'll vote to get rid of your ass. And so the day of reckoning came, and, of course, they voted to get rid of us. And we were supposed to take all our whatever belongings. Some say not. You only allowed, I think, one or two bags on board. The spaceships were going to zap you up and go to the beach or the coastside, and so the space could zap you up, you know. Yeah. And that's what would happen if that happened that way, because they would love to get rid of us. They would love if we would just disappear, because there ain't no more cotton to pick. You know, no more tobacco. Yeah. And so the country is moving into that where the organizations, the corporations, and the people with wealth, serious wealth, there's over 700 billionaires. 700. Now, of course, there's that's 700 people, 700. There's over almost 8 billion people on the planet. So you can see the 700 billionaires is even less than 1% of the total people on the planet. There are 300 million people in the United States. And at 1% of the people that run and own stuff, the billionaires and the hundred million millionaires. And so these people who are oligarchs, I don't know if you paid attention, but when Reagan first took office in 2017, he had Russian oligarchs at the White House. These are Putin's buddies who made millions while the majority of the people of Russia were not doing well at all. It's just like there's an oligarchy in China. There are Chinese that are making big money. You know, that's why to me the idea of Africa and Africans establishing the continent in a way that, no, there won't be any oligarchs. There won't be an oligarchy. it would be a fine example of a socialist system where people will be given on the basis of their needs. The people who serve don't have the ability to amass millions of dollars like in the United States Senate and the United States Congress through all those folks who lobby Congress and lobby the Senate, giving away millions. No, this is an evil, corrupt system. At one time, this has been a couple of times that the oligarchy was put down by this system. But of course, and I may mention Monday, Ronald Reagan, who I feel is the worst president this country. No, it's not Trump. It's Ronald Reagan. Why? Because Ronald Reagan, first thing he did was get rid of the solar panels on the White House that Jimmy Carter had put up, signaling that we need to move in a direction that is more energy efficient and safe for the environment. He took them down. He took them down and gave his buddies in the oil industry the go-ahead. They bought out wind and solar and suppressed it. Oil was big business, but even deeper, when the tax rate was for 90% of those who made huge money, they would be taxed. Well, Reagan cut that all the way down to. Well, actually, Reagan didn't do it. It happened even under Johnson's administration. They cut the tax rate so they can get those tax cuts under 50%. And so now, you have your house you pay taxes on to the state, Wisconsin or Illinois or Georgia. You pay federal taxes. In fact, whoever won the money last night or whoever win this big money tonight, they said, what would you get if you won that $600 million? You get half of it. Oh, okay, well, $300 million, even though I won $6 million. But now you're going to be taxed. So you're probably going to get about $220 million. You won't squabble about that. But just to say that how things are taxed in this society, the average CEO, makes 30 times what the average worker makes. 50 times. Now it's 50 times. That's why when Lee Iacocca, who was the head of Chrysler and the other automobile manufacturers, their CEOs were going to meet with the Japanese about how the Japanese cars were flooding America, making it very difficult to sell the United States vehicles, so making it hard for Chrysler, GM, Ford, and so forth. And they laughed at him and said, look at your business model. Your business model is top people that they making a whole bunch of money with a management in the middle and a large working class that whose wages are suppressed. Reagan, Ronald Reagan, and Margaret Thatcher. You seen what just happened in in the UK? She had to resign. Now an Indian, that's interesting, isn't it? An Indian is going to be the new prime minister of. And let me find that. let me find that and play that, man. Because that was deep. Because here this Indian, let me see, we'll put that out there. I think Brother Paul, man, I tell you, I love Brother Paul. I really do love Brother Paul. He sends all kinds of good stuff. It's Brother Kwabena, Robert Folsom sent me this. This is my guy who's giving it up. Yeah, I like Trevor Noah, giving it up. But he has a piece here on the new prime minister of England. See here. I gotta make sure I get out of it. Okay, here we go.
Not everyone in the UK is happy about Rishi Sunak taking the top spot and making history. And it's not because of his policies or because of his personality. No, there are some people who have a problem with something else, as this caller to a British radio show so eloquently explained.
Is the real problem here, Jerry, that Rishi Sunak is a brown man and you don't trust him at the top of this country?
Well, could you imagine him going to the Scottish Nationalists and being the Prime Minister of the Scottish Nationalists? Could you imagine me becoming the Prime Minister of Pakistan or Saudi Arabia? No, these things matter. I'm sorry you don't like it, but this is predominantly, we're talking about England, right? 85% of the English people, yes, are white English people, and they want to see a Prime Minister that reflects them.
Yeah, this guy has a good point. Can you imagine if white English people wanted to rule countries where no one looked like them? Well, that would never happen. Can you imagine that world? What would that world be like? Now, you know what's so funny to me? It's funny how racists always say, oh, colonization was fine. It was business. That was, until they feel like they're being colonized. Then all of a sudden it's like, something needs to be done. Something needs to be done. Not even being colonized. The guy is British. What's wrong with you? You know, and if you ask me, British racists are looking at this whole thing all wrong. This could be a good thing for you people. After 400 years, you'll finally get to legitimately blame a brown person for your country's problems. You're living your dreams. Wake up. I mean, there is a part of me. There's a part of me that feels a little bad for England's racists. No, because remember, they voted for Brexit specifically to keep Britain white. And that vote started a 7-year chain of dominoes that has now led directly to an Indian Prime Minister. Oh, man. Yeah, they're probably like, oh, this is certainly a rich irony at my expense, isn't it? Yeah. And here's the thing, keep in mind, this caller even says that he is Tory. So this is the same party as Rishi Sunak, right? Which means they probably agree on all the same policies. He just doesn't like that he's not white, which I don't understand. I truly don't understand. What are you scared of? What is this caller scared of? Does he think Sunak is going to walk up to the podium on his first day in office and be like, it is the greatest privilege of my life to be able to give back to the country I owe so much to. And to show my gratitude, I just want to say, I'm selling the entire country to India. That's right. Revenge time, you bastards. This was the plan the whole time. Happy Diwali, mother bitches. It's not going to happen, you racist.
Bollywood. Yeah. You know, that's why these countries are electing fascists, almost in France, definitely in Italy, Hungary. There's fascists all around this damn world. That's what Trump, remember I read that piece on fascism, that's what Trump was trying to do. It was still trying to do. And so the oligarchy is fascism because they want to control everything. They want to determine who gets what. The exclusive consolidation of power by a dominant religious or ethnic minority has also been described as a form of oligarchy. Examples of this system include South Africa, under apartheid. South Africa is still under apartheid. Caucasians still control South Africa and Namibia. Still, many Caucasian countries still have influence, deep influence in Africa, particularly the French. And others, Indians are trying to go, Well, you know, they're trying hard to get back to Uganda and to take it over. China. China's all over Africa. China wants to do what? Put over 3 million people. China wants to put 3 million people in Africa. Yeah. Well, yeah. The installation of oligarchy rule by descendants of foreign settlers was permanently regarded as a legacy in the various forms of colonialism. Punitive oligarchies. Business group, it might be defined as an oligarchy if it satisfies all of the following conditions. Owners are the largest private owners in the country. It possesses sufficient political power to promote its own interests. Owners control multi-businesses, which intensively coordinates their activities. The constant takeovers, the monopolies. That's what the world, that's what this country, the world are moving to. That's why for me, the idea for me is the Pan-African Federalist Movement, the idea that Africans on the continent and that Africans in the diasporan Africans come home working with the brothers and sisters on the continent to control our land, to control our resources, kick out the Indians, kick out the Arabs, kick out the Caucasians, kick out the Chinese, whoever damn else. Just like Mao Zedong, when he came into power, kicked everybody's ass out, got rid of people that he understood would be a hindrance and a problem to establishing what they wanted to establish. Particularly the lawyers. Let's say we kick them all out, give ourselves a 10-year plan to develop the African continent and shape and fashion it in our image and interests. You know, let's say that, how they developed that. And so now, we don't have, I mean, we may have some monarchies in symbol, but they ain't getting millions of dollars. Because what's more important is not that you might be a group within that country, Ibu, or Fulani, whatever. We respect that. But the most important thing is that you are African. And whatever resources, they're going to be shared for the betterment of African people. The collective African thought. Because if we don't do this, if this doesn't happen, I'm saying Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. That is the ultimate reality. So if we don't do this, our situation will be dire. We got to get rid of Negroes, lost souls. We got to make sure that we develop this in a way that it is good for us. Some contemporary authors have characterized conditions in the United States in the 21st century as oligarchic in nature. Simon Johnson wrote in 2009 that the emergence of an American financial oligarchy is quite recent, a structure which he delineated as being the most advanced in the world. Jeffrey Winters wrote that oligarchy and democracy operate within a single system, and American politics is a daily display of their interplay. The top 1% of the U.S. population by wealth in 2007 had a larger share of total income than any time since the 1928. And of course, what was 1928? Exactly. The Great Depression, the start of it. In 2011, according to Political Fact and others, the top 40 wealthiest Americans have more wealth than half of all Americans combined. In 1998, Bob Herbert of the New York Times referred to the modern American plutocrats as the donor class. list of top donors and defined the class for the first time as a tiny group, just 0.25% of the population, and it is not representative of the rest of the nation, but its money buys plenty of access. French economist states that in his book, 2013, Capital in the 21st Century, that the risk of a drift towards oligarchy is real and gives little reason for optimism about where the United States is headed. A 2014 study of political scientists Martin Gillens of Princeton University and Benjamin Page of Northwestern stated that the majorities of American public actually have little influence over the policies of our governments that the government adopts. The study analyzed nearly 1,800 policies enacted by the United States government between 1981, the start of Ronald Reagan, and 2002, and compared them to the expressed preferences of the American public as opposed to the wealthy American and large special interest groups. It found that the wealthy individuals and organizations representing business interests have substantial political influence, while the average citizen and mass-based interest groups have little to none. The study did concede that Americans do enjoy some features central to democratic governance, such as regular elections. We have regular elections, and they're fair, right? Freedom of speech and association, and widespread if still franchise. If it's still contested, it's franchise. Gillens and Page do not characterize the U.S. as an oligarchy per se. However, they do apply the concepts of civil oligarchy as used by the Jeffrey Winters with respect to the U.S. Winters has posted a comparative theory of oligarchy in which the wealthiest citizens, even in a civil oligarchy like the United States, dominate policy concerning critical issues of wealth and income protection. Oh, no doubt. They got to protect their wealth and income. Gillen said the average citizen only gets what they want if wealthy Americans and business-oriented interest groups also want it. And that when a policy favored by the majority of American people is implemented, it is usually because the economic elites did not oppose it. Other studies have characterized and criticized the Page-Gillen study. Page and Gillen have defended their studies from criticism. In a 2015 interview, former President Jimmy Carter stated that the United States is now an oligarchy with ultimate political bribery due to the Citizens United versus FEC ruling, which effectively removed limits on donations to political candidates. Wall Street spent a record $2 billion trying to influence the 2016 presidential election. And it's all coming in less than a month, brothers and sisters. November 8th, the midterm elections. Oh, man. Can't wait. I can give them less than a damn about them, honestly. I don't care about American elections. It's a fraud anyway. I know. It is what it is. We're going to take a pause for the cause. That's right. We're going to take a break. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to talk about the American food apartheid. There's a presentation tonight I'm going to give information on and talk more about it. The American African Food Apartheid. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Thank you. everything I can think about, babe. Dreaming last night like a man that has something to prove. I dream about me a jet black babe, 'cause I think about life like that, sugar. Keeping my love on track, baby.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening on Mondays. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Mondays from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Cambon, Dr. Kamal Cambon, and Sister Nataki Cambon. Followed by from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations every first and third Mondays with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Thursdays from 7 to 8, Mississippi on the Move, the Black Liberation Movement. Mississippi on the Move. Friday at 8 p.m., it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an awakening, 8 p.m. on Fridays. Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday, once again at 7 p.m., time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Good afternoon, Sister Nabantu, Mama Nabantu. Good afternoon.
Hello. Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm good.
Good.
Well, tell us back to DC.
Tell us about your daughter's trip, her hike up Mount Kilimanjaro.
Oh, she went with a group of black folks up there. I think all of them went up and came down successfully, but she ended up with a blood clot.
Oh, wow. Where was the blood clot?
I think in her leg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, Dr. Nana Opari, you know, he lives down not too far from where they go up that trail. Mm-hmm. And so he looked at her and told her she probably shouldn't get on the plane to Amsterdam.
Right. Right. Well, she could put some compression. She needed to put some compression socks on. A friend of mine, mm-hmm. Her friend was a doctor, and she was mm-hmm. on a long trip, you know,
mm-hmm.
and blood clot in her leg moved up into her lungs, and she died.
Right.
And she died.
My daughter's lucky because it did go to her lungs, but she survived all of that.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And she got to, from Amsterdam to L.A., her doctor told her, don't get on another plane, take the train to the Bay Area.
Okay. Well, the other thing is, you know, put some compression socks on. My last trip to Ghana back in 19, you know, I'd never worn them before, you know, but I put them on, you know,
mm-hmm.
Just in case, you
mm-hmm,
know,
mm-hmm.
So put on some compression socks, but like, wow. So she made it up the mountain and back down. Unfortunately, she had a blood clot. What did she say her experience was like?
She actually did a video of her whole experience, and it was, you know, nice watching. You know, mm-hmm. she said that it's like being on, of course, the top of the world.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a triumphant experience.
Beautiful.
You know.
Beautiful.
Because they go by levels, you know. They have to camp on the way up.
Right.
They don't. Yeah.
Right.
So,
they go to a certain level, stop the encampment, you know, get rest and so mm-hmm. forth, replenish. Now, this morning, the sisters were aided by brothers who live in Tanzania, who help people get up the mountain and back down. And
right.
And they said they had like about 70 assistants, 70 people that helped them up with, you know, to
70?
Take, yeah, 70. I was like 70, you know.
And it was only 15 of them?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I know. That's being assisted deeply, you know. But, you know, what they did was they carried all of their equipment.
Oh,
see,
yeah.
They carried all of their equipment up to that one level. They camped out. Then another group would come in, they said, and they would take them to another level, and another group would come in. I think there was like, what, four levels or three or four levels that they
mm-hmm.
that they get to mm-hmm. get to the summit. And so those people mm-hmm. were assisting them at each level, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, hey, whatever blessings you can get. But they made it. They made it up there,
yeah.
And they made it back down. They said they had a portable shower, you know. But
really?
A little bucket, yeah, you know. But they after going through it one time, they all agreed that, hey, now forget this thing. Number one, it's cold. It's cold, you know.
Freezing cold.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think. Well, anyway.
yeah, but you know, you have to sort of watch when you get ready to go on a trip like that, because when my daughter's group got ready to go, the guy who organized the trip spent the money.
Oh, God.
And they had to raise more money to go.
Yeah.
And he gambled the money thinking he was going to triple his money and ended up losing it all. So they had to raise more money, and they got some help. I guess they got in the newspaper back uh-huh. in the day, so, and some people donated.
So yeah. So they did maybe like what is now, of course, is crowdfunding. So people who understood mm-hmm. their situation would donate some money mm-hmm. to their cause, understandable. Mm-hmm. But what about mm-hmm. him? You know what happened to his ass?
Hope yeah, he should have went to jail.
He should have went to jail. He got sued.
Yeah. The group supposedly filed a suit against him. So I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah.
I have to check with my daughter to see if they got did he money. Pay for that.
Yeah, if they got their money back, which of course they hope they should. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Mama Nubuntu. Continue to Alrighty. Listen. I appreciate you, dear. You have a good day, dear.
All right. Now.
Peace.
You too.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good ending, and I'm glad her daughter's okay. That is serious. And like that, two of the women, one woman, she said her oxygen level went down to into the 50s. Wow. You know, I've had breathing issues, you know, and I do have portable oxygen now that if I need it, if I started to experience. But usually now what's happening with me, if I do exert myself and it goes under 90, because your oxygen level should be while you're just chilling out, sitting down, relaxed. If it is 100, that's good. That's good capacity. But it's anything between 95 and 100. Now, when you start to do some things, start to exert yourself in some way, walking up and down stairs or even deeper, started to run or jog or whatever, your oxygen level should drop down into the low 90s, but should not be under 90. And it definitely shouldn't be 85, 80, or below that. Definitely not. That means you're going to be gasping for breath. Now, for me, my recovery has been good. So if I do experience something like that, because I was experiencing it, just doing just simple things. I would go down, up and down the steps, and I need to sit down, chill out. That thing they put over your finger, which is called a pulse ox, because it monitors your oxygen level and your pulse. And your pulse, put that over your finger, wait, read it. If it should be. You know, let's say, for instance, it was in the 80s, hopefully maybe within 2 to 3 minutes, or maybe a little more, now it's in the mid-90s, then that's good. You're recovering, you know. For me, the highest I've been, when I put the thing on my finger chilling out, is 98. The lowest I've been was 77. So, but I have, like I said, I have portable oxygen, you know, if I need it, and I have oxygen around the house. So, yeah, breathing issues. And that was the thing about the coronavirus. It's respiratory. And that was a concern of mine, but no, I didn't get the jab. Ain't gonna get it, you know. Just try my best to. And I did wear a mask, particularly in the early onset of the pandemic. I don't now. I haven't in months. No. So, anyway, Brother Elliot, send me some information about what's going on in terms of what's happening with a number of things. He gave me some contact information for this Brother Fleetwood. Yeah, Brother Fleetwood, he's a brother who Robert Floyd Bolden, Brother Fleetwood, Robert Floyd, born in San Francisco, now lives here in Atlanta, and he speaks to young people, and I reached out to him because he reached out to Brother Elliot, and I reached out to him to see if I can have him on the program, Brother Fleetwood, and he talks to young people about the conditions he's been, you know, he's been in that life, and he's trying to help young folks, make them aware of all the issues and problems that they have, you know. And I don't know, there's something wrong with my computer as it relates to sound. The sound says it's 100%. And I don't know if some way that that it's been muted or something. But we'll see about that later. Anyway, so I'm anxious to talk with Brother Fleetwood and see if he can come on the program. And yeah. So, yeah. I don't know why my sound is not working, but whatever. Yeah, Brother Robert Bolden, Brother Fleetwood. And the main thing I'm going to talk about is the issue of the Black Cooperative, the American African Cooperative Development. It is a program that's going to happen tonight. It's a webinar. The Network for Developing Conscious Communities, Conversations on American African Cooperative Development webinar series. The cooperative development ecosystem, and in that contains spiritual, cultural, political, and economic to be discussed. American African food apartheid, the value of cooperative model as a community development structure for creating food security and fostering community. That is this evening, from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. From 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And here is the information that was forwarded to me. And I'm going to give it to you if you can write it down for the Zoom tonight. So that's tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And the meeting ID number. The meeting ID number is 865-6370-4329. That's 865-0370-4392. And then the passcode is 225-268. 225-268 for the passcode. Put that information in, the code in, and bam, you'll be a part of the conversation. And of course, you know, it's, yeah. Once again, 865-6370-4392. And the passcode 225-268. 225-268. And this begins at 9 o'clock. Here are the participants. Here are the participants of the yeah. This webinar session uses the need for food as a springboard for strengthening solidarity, creating stronger relationships among cultural groups and class lines, and building the self-esteem of participants. Food apartheid is a problem that occurs when the American African community cannot access healthy food grown on healthy, on or in healthy American African community soil. This results in high occurrences of sickness and disease, which finds American Africans more likely to suffer from obesity and diabetes. There is an increasingly broad consensus growing among American African organizations that food apartheid includes the systematic destruction of American African self-determination to control our food, including land, resource theft, and discrimination. This webinar grapples with the new ways to understand the question of food control and explores terms such as food apartheid, food deserts, and food insecurity. In Milwaukee, there are certain areas that are food deserts. They have no supermarkets, no fresh fruit, vegetables. And in fact, one of the alder persons, my good friend, Malele Cox, she got a food store to move into what used to be a Walgreens that became abandoned right on the corner of King Drive and North Avenue. Although it is, the store is not American African, I wish it was. That would have been the bomb, because they used to have a number of supermarkets that were American African owned. But they all went down. Lena's, they all went down. And Pete's Market, they're Caucasian, but they do have, you know, fruits and vegetables and all kind of other stuff. So that was kind of cool. Some have taken what is considered to be a bolder stance and have stated, call it what it is, food apartheid. Ultimately, strong policies are necessary to ensure that no American African neighborhood experiences food apartheid and need to redistribute power to remove systems of oppression. The moderator for the program is Brother Malik Kenyatta Yekindi. He is the co-founder and executive director of Detroit American African Food Community Security Network. And they operate a 7-acre D-Town, Detroit, D-Town farm, and is spearheading the opening of a Detroit Food Commons in Detroit's North End that will house the Detroit People's Food Co-op. He serves as a board member of the co-op. And you remember, I promote co-ops. The Us Lifting Us is a co-op. I believe in cooperatives. I believe in putting all our monies together to make things happen. That's what Brother Moses West is trying to do. He doesn't call it a co-op, but he's saying, if we put our monies together, I will try my best to build these machines and put these machines where water is a serious crisis, where access to water is not happening, because there is no shortage of drinking water. It is all around us. It is all around us. The speakers for this evening's program is Eric Simpson. Eric is an experienced human service professional and cooperative manager with 20 years of diverse experiences at the intersections of cooperative economics, social work, and community development. A small farmer and organizer, Eric serves as a board member, owner, and project director of West Georgia Farmers Cooperative, the West Georgia Farmers Cooperative. The other speaker is Dr. Jasmine Ratliff. Dr. Jazz is an applied food systems researcher and policy-based specialist. She partners with the academic research teams, anchors institutions, philanthropic foundations, and community-based organizations to identify root causes of and develop innovative solutions to food service challenges. And so that is tonight at 6 p.m. I'll repeat that information again. So you can have that. For the Zoom conference at 6 o'clock tonight, for the Zoom conference. And that is, the ID is 865-6370-4302, 865-6370-4803, let me try again, Brother Oshie. 865-6370-4392. 865-6370-4392. Man, I tell you, why does this happen to me? 630-7073704392. And the ID, the passcode is 225-268. 225-268. So, we're taking calls. 404-404, good afternoon.
Hey, Yuhuru, my big brother.
Yuhuru, man, what's up? Research West, what's happening?
Man, I was looking at this court case about this dude in Wisconsin run over all the folks, man.
Oh, yeah, he's trying to defend. He's trying to defend himself. That's not a good move.
It's over, bro. Hey, bro. They just combined a guilty of all 76 counts, man.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
He was in a Caucasian.
Well, you know, that's not hard to be in an all Caucasian neighborhood in the state of Wisconsin, because there's Milwaukee County, which the vast majority of American African people live, and outside of Milwaukee County are the suburbs. Outside the city of Milwaukee, which Milwaukee is totally in Milwaukee County, but outside the city of Milwaukee, there are suburbs that are damn near lily white. Okay? So we're
And most of the Germans that came from Germany. But look here, man. Number one, he would drive his mama car. Okay? Just check this out. And then it started the main thing. He had a black woman that's from Atlanta. They got in an argument, man. That's what set him off, man. My main point is, just arguing with each other and arguing particularly with a black woman, bro, don't do it. You have a bad-ass day, man, every time. So it's important. I'm serious, bro. Don't argue with no sister, man. I'm telling you, man. You have a bad day because you ain't going to know how to shut it down, man. Arguing with a sister, that's what set him off, man. Damn.
Yeah, well.
And on top of that, the vehicle kind of malfunctioned, too, because it had some recall shit, man, but.
But it's that crazy, wasn't. Man. But did he try to say? Because like I said, he tried to defend himself. Did he try to say that the vehicle had a malfunction, and that him driving through all those people, killing all those people, was a result of a malfunction in the vehicle, and he couldn't control it, he couldn't turn it off, he couldn't brake, he couldn't shut it down. What does he say? From what you know,
yeah, it was under like a recall. But you know how these devils is. They're going to bring an expert witness to say it wasn't nothing wrong with the vehicle, man. So that's what they said, man. Yeah. But he honked the horn and tried to let them know, man. The whole thing crazy, man. Main thing is, brothers, we got to stay cool, man. That's what they wanted to do.
Yeah, I agree. Dude, I agree.
We got to stay cool, man.
I mean, he wasn't in that area when him and the sister started arguing, right? Or was he?
Yes, sir. It was right around the corner from the parade, man.
Oh.
Instead of him just let the sister, after they got into a year, he smacked the sister and dotted her eye. And then they argued. Instead of him just, when they start arguing, just say, baby, I'll holler at you later on. Get on out the car. And we talk later on, man. That's what a real brother would do. And say, baby, I love you. We talk later on. And
a real brother wouldn't smack her in the eye. That's for sure, too.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. It wouldn't even got that far. Because if I know if I'm talking with anybody, I told y'all how I know. If I'm talking with anybody, black man, black woman, anybody, you can feel the conversation get heated. Yeah. So you got to be big man and shut your goddamn mouth and say, hey, baby, I'm sorry. I'm finna go. I got to go cool out, man. You know what I'm talking about?
I agree.
And then,
I agree.
The dude, he had made a video, man. He was trying to be a rap boy. I think he called himself Mac Boy Fly something, man. I got his video, man. The whole thing, man, it could have been exacerbated if he just cool out, man. But he got outside the square, man. That's just a warning, man. Because see, a wise person look at what mistake somebody has done, and you read from and say, no, I want to go do that.
I agree. I agree, brother.
That's
what a wise person would do. Yeah. That's like I say all the time. They say, just like I say all the time, brother Research West, they always said that experience is the best teacher. No, it is not. You don't have to experience them. You can look at what others have done and learn from that.
Observe.
Exactly. Knowledge and information is the best teacher. You can experience something once in your life that'll take you totally out the box. You can experience one thing once in your life, and it can eliminate you. So, no, experience is not the best teacher. By experiencing something, hopefully you learn lessons, but knowledge and information is the best teacher. So, yeah, Brother West.
And observation, just look and listen. Not all that damn talking that everybody want to do is go. I learned from listening and talking, man.
Yeah.
So, me saying that. I'm going to shut my big mouth and listen to what everybody else got to say, man. I love you, bro. It's a fun time to be alive, man.
Right on.
Number one, if you done made it past 60-something and you don't know how this shit roll, bro, you a damn fool, ain't it, man?
Yeah. That's for sure, Brother Wes. All right, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Have a blessed day. Hope to see you on Friday, man. Peace.
Yes, sir. I'm listening. I learned.
Okay, man. Take care. My boy, my man, Research West. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I look forward to that. I met a sister. She also deals in farming. I talked to her. I met a sister in Milwaukee. She dates a good friend of mine. I'm like brother, like family, brother Tony Spruer, and sister Dr. Monica. Sister Monica's last name. Monica White. Dr. Monica White. And she in fact, she didn't know about this, but she knows the brother who's moderating. She knows him, Brother Malik. Because, in fact, she's from Detroit. And he's out of Detroit, you know. But urban gardening and aquaponics, all of these things, man, that a lot of it that we as African people, you know, have done some great things in that. There should be no need. The fact that we got the water now and we have other issues dealing with agriculture, it should be no need for these things to happen. Of course, they are. Because number one, we're not in control. That's the point. That's the problem. We're not in control. And believe me, I look at it for those who are in control. Their whole design is to make sure that we suffer and ultimately make sure that we are eliminated. I'm just keeping it real. You know, when they talk about population control, when Europeans talk about that, they very serious. When Europeans are talking about replacement theory, all this stuff, they're very serious. You know, they never really meant, this was not meant to be a place where people of different cultures and so forth would come here and live with each other. That was not the intent. The intent was for this to be a country where Caucasians from wherever they are would come here and realize their full potential dreams of owning land and, you know, money and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that the people who are here, all the millions of people who were here, the indigenous populations, of course, you've seen them almost go down to extinction almost. Now, of course, they've built themselves back, various of these groups, but still, they have. Okay, they got some casinos. And some of the members of the of those cultural groups or nations, you know, they got benefit because of the casinos, and that's good for them. They benefit from that, and as well as they should, you know, as well as they should. So, give us a call. We can talk about this or anything else you want to talk about. You know. Give us a call at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. You know, we're going to talk about the oligarchy. We want to talk about the food apartheid. Or we want to talk about anything else that you may want to have some discussion on. It's on your mind. Let's bring it to the microphone. Let's talk about it. Because, you know, and I played for you a little while ago the Trevor Noah piece where this Caucasian from England was upset that the prime minister is going to be a person of color, and using that word, an Indian from India. And of course, Trevor Noah being funny at the end. Yes, this was a plan. Now let's go to Pakistan. We're going to run. Yeah. And I'm quite sure that he will be given a lot of assistance, but he also will meet with a lot of resistance. He will be given a lot of assistance, but he also will be met with a lot of resistance. Unknown caller, brother, hey, Brother Paul, is that you?
Good morning, Baba Ochi. How are you?
I'm doing well, my friend. How are you today? So how?
I'm good. Glad to hear.
So is there a favorable mood about what's the cat's name? Sakharov, the new prime minister, the Indian.
His name is Rishi Sunak. Yeah.
Sunak.
Yeah, Sunak. Rishi Sunak. He's apparently he's the new prime minister of United Kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. So
I mean, look, my personal observance of these things is you know, I know some of us like to wrap ourselves up in politics and act like these politricians, as I refer to them, have our best interests at heart. But for me personally, my observations, and these are just my observations, is that these people only serve one interest, and that interest is for them. Corporate interest and financial interest and those who share their type of ideologies, mm-hmm. you know, and then they trick the people into believing that they support them, and then they break all the promises that they made to get them in power, etc. But the thing about Rishi, you've got to remember, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Rishi Sunak, he was chosen. He's the fifth leader of what we call the Conservative Party, which is the equivalent to the Republican Party in America.
Right.
And the system here, how the system works here, is that the last elected or so-called elected prime minister was David Cameron. Yeah, and he resigned. He resigned, and then you had Theresa May take over, which was elected by the Conservative Party. They're not elected by the people, by the way. There's no national vote. They're elected only by members. They're elected only by members of the so-called Conservative Party, which represent, I think, I could be wrong, but I'm sure they represent less than 10% of the population. So
that's crazy, but brother Paul. So you mean to say the prime minister is elected by parliament? So the people of Britain.
Parliament. It's not even elected by parliament. It's only elected by those who are part of the Conservative Party. So it's half of. I mean, not even half. I mean, it's you know how many members who are in parliament that's who are allowed to elect them. So. Since David Cameron, I mean, you know, if I'd be honest with you, right, the people doesn't actually, if when you really look at this thing, this game of politics, yeah, this is why I have to refer to it as a game of just deception. Because the people don't actually elect, I mean, you know, you have an individual, in America, you have an individual who puts himself up on behalf of a party, and then he plays that circus act, he goes around and performs these circus tricks. And then the people pick him or her as their leader, right? But here, you're really voting for the party, because you have in each constituent have a member of parliament, right? And the members of parliament are the ones who choose the leader. You don't really choose the leader. So even though someone's elected as prime minister, right, like David Cameron, the people didn't choose him. It's the party what chooses him, right? So usually it's the same people getting power. They follow the same pattern. They go to the same schools. They have the same institutions they're part of. They have the same fraternities they're part of. It's the same old game, right? And then when you go back to David Cameron, when David Cameron resigned, the party elected Theresa May. When they run out of
Theresa May was pushing. Did David Cameron push Brexit, or it started with Theresa May? I remember. Is that correct? She was pushing Brexit.
It started with. You see, that's a very good question. Actually, on point. It actually started with David Cameron, right? But you know what, right? To be honest with you, Baba Ochi, when I listen to the chat shows in America, right? It's my observance that what I hear from people, how they interpret what Brexit is and what they get from their media, because most of the things, how you interpret it, you get from the media, obviously, mm-hmm. right? It's not what we see in practice here. It's not what people on the ground are saying here. So mm-hmm. for me, what the mass manipulating media is pushing, and I can hear it from the voices on the radio and on the different platforms, isn't really what's happening and what Brexit is really about. I grew up in a working class era, East London, working class attitudes, white attitudes, and whatever. The era I live in now, maybe different, more cosmopolitan, or whatever. But in London, for instance, you had half wanted to stay in, and half wanted to come out. Right? Mm-hmm. In the country as a whole, which is predominantly white. You had a lot of English of English descent or Europeans, as you refer to them as. Mm-hmm. They wanted to come out, and the real reason why they, as far as I was concerned, being a person who's come into this country, you know, I was born here of Jamaican descent. My parents came here from Jamaica. The truth of the matter is, as I see it, is that the reason really why they wanted to come out, and I've said this a few times on these type of platforms, for me, I have never, the white boys, the English boys I went to school with, I have never for once heard any English person, white person, refer to themselves as European. Never. I've never heard that.
Okay.
The first time I even heard that term was when I went to America. They said, "Are you from Europe?" And that caught me off guard, because I have never heard any white person I have grown with refer to themselves as European. They just don't do that. They don't see themselves as Europeans. Mm-hmm. They see themselves by their national identity. They see themselves as English if you're from England, Scottish if you're from Scotland, mm-hmm. and Welsh if you're from Wales. This idea of being European, as far as I'm concerned, is an idea which came, I know this sounds crazy, but came from America. Mm-hmm. It came from America because it's the American, after the Second World War, who popped up some of these European countries and gave mm-hmm. them the idea that you all have to unite under this European thing. And these English people have always had a problem with that. These English people, they don't see themselves as European, most of them, the working class ones. It's only maybe the ones who are following the money trail or in the institutions or maybe so-called middle class or whatever, who follow that thing. The working class, they don't really follow that. They see themselves as English, and they're very nationalistic. So this Brexit thing, right, was pushed, as far as I'm concerned, by certain politicians who's upholding this agenda. I mean, even NATO. NATO's not a European idea. It's an American idea. It's American funds it majorly, and they push it because it's their way of controlling what goes on in Europe and keeping Russia at bay.
So
that is really what's going on.
So the main thing with Brexit was not, I mean, to get out of the European Union, to curb immigration, and to have more control over British finances. Is that kind of correct? As far as you know?
There again, yes, that is the media. I mean, you know, like I said, most of these people are nationalistic, right? The majority of the country. So therefore, in terms of immigration, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Immigration is the thing which is being pushed, right? It's always been pushed. This country in England has been built on immigration, right? I mean, even if you look at the so-called white Anglo-Saxons, Anglo-Saxon is not English. Anglo-Saxon is of Germanic origin, okay? You know, the crazy thing is sometimes I'm even educating these so-called English because most of them don't even understand that. This country I live in called England, before the Anglo-Saxons were here, was dominated by people from Wales. It was the Anglo-Saxons who pushed them out to Wales. So the Welsh are the original people. Names like, I think, Jones and Smith are Welsh names. They're not English names. They've got, the original, the so-called English name are of Germanic descent.
Okay.
And then the Scottish, which are of... This is another issue I have, because most Americans will say Europeans. I say this European idea is an American invention or creation, right? Because these people do not see themselves like that. And it's quite interesting to me, because even, you know, when I listen, you always say, Europeans, but they don't define themselves, majority of them don't look like that. They will define themselves by their nationality or their language. And there is a lot of tension, and I don't think you over there fully understand this in America, the tensions between the different groups, like the tensions between the English and the Irish, or the Irish and the Scottish, and there are serious tensions, you know, but they're not going to tell you that over there, so what we have now, Brexit, yes, immigration was a problem because they like to protect their identity, but in the reality of it is, this country was built on immigration from all sorts of people. Secondly, there's always been a... Because they protect their identity, the Germans, who are probably their closest relatives, have always been more advanced. Germany is probably the most advanced group of people among them. If you look at the cars, Mercedes, Benz, Porsche... Mm-hmm. And all their industry, they're probably the most talented out of them. So there's always been that tension between Germany and them.
Okay.
And then you've got the Second World War where Hitler marched over them, and if it wasn't for their cousins in America, they'd be speaking German because Hitler would have walked straight over them. Okay. So these are the tensions which have amounted to, and this was long before Brexit. When I was growing up, right, you had certain characters, obviously old white men who were in the Second World War, and you dare not mention to them about Germany. You know, they tell you about to go home for their guns. You know, they took, because a lot of them died in the Second World War, and they blamed the Germans for it. You know, and there was the hatred of Germany was so, you dare not even mention Germany. You could never go, you never hear on the TV they talk about Germany, ever. You know, that's how bad it was. You know, and I don't think, over your side, you appreciate those things, because I don't think they're going to tell you those things over there, because they want to give you the idea that they're all this united fund, united group under this European banner, because that's how they maintain the illusion that they're united, and they're not. And, you know, they are really not united, and you'd have to come and live in Europe to see that they're not united. Seriously. They're only united if they serve a common interest, and that interest is to rob other people's interests,
exactly.
Like they do Africa.
Exactly. But as I always said, I always said that, you know, Europe came out of that last dark age, medieval age, and set it themselves with Martel and Charlemagne and so forth. We may war amongst ourselves, but we're going to come together on those who are outside of us, you know, and to dominate and to control and to rule those who are outside of us. Go over places just like, you know, I played this piece with Trevor Noah.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, because today they suggest that elected this Rishi Sunak from You know, his parents, by the way, his parents were born, I think they're born in Kenya, you know, both of them. They're not even, they weren't even born in India, his parents. They were born in Africa, apparently.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah.
Well, even though they might have been born in Africa, they ain't Africans. Just like a kitten,
well, of course,
a cat can have kittens in the oven, don't make them biscuits. But they're Indian. They are Indian, right? And he was born in Africa, or his parents, and he was born in Africa. But the bottom line, he came to India. I mean, India. He came to Britain. He came to Britain. Did he go to school in Britain?
No, he was actually born in Britain. He was born in Britain. His parents came from Africa. Kenya,
okay.
Or some part in Africa. And he was educated in Britain.
Okay.
And he I think he was an employee of Goldman Sachs, like Macron of France.
Yeah.
And, you know, both employees of the bank. So to me, I mean, the bottom line is, like I say, he wasn't really elected by the people. He was elected by the Conservative Party.
Right.
And I think he's been put there to carry out the wishes of the bank. That's what I think he's role is. And
sure.
To be honest with you, my observation is this of him, his role. Look, the bottom line is, and I must put this out there, you know, the bank, the economy collapsed in 2008, right? And it's not really recovered. He is a banker, and he's going to carry out the wishes of the bank. And what is the wishes of the bank? The wishes of the bank is to bring in the new currency, which is a digital currency. That is their objective. It's taking place right now in America. It's taking away right now and around the world. It's to bring in the digital currency to compete with cryptocurrency, to override cryptocurrency. That is the objective, right? So the reality, and he will do it. But the bottom line is, will the people accept it? And I don't think they're going to accept it, because the people are out on the street already. You've got the nurses' union, which have, for the first time in their history, are coming out on strike. Teachers, firemen, police,
right,
all sorts of groups which have never struck before are coming out, because they're saying that, you know, that the wages are not meeting their outgoing.
Right. And that's true all over. But listen, let me catch some other callers, Brother Paul, okay? I got some folks waiting before my time runs out. Okay? All right, Brother Paul. Thank you.
Yep.
347, good afternoon.
Yeah, what's going on, Auntie?
Hey, Brother Jay, what's happening?
Not much, man. It's very interesting that this situation over in England, in the way that it's playing out, that they done got somebody else that's a person of color to come in and save their ass, it seems.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Or try to save them.
Right.
You know what I mean? But the truth of the matter is they can't be saved.
Right.
I mean, we try to play this game about saving them. It's just like the truth in regards to black folks and giving the opportunity for power. If you gave black people the opportunity and the chance for power, they just give it right back to the white man. But they don't feel as though they could really govern themselves. And if they do decide to govern themselves, they'll just act like the Africans do in South Africa, take care of their allies and their friends, and the rest of the people suffer. Yeah. I mean, that's just something nobody really wants to talk about, but that's the reality.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they took over in South Africa, and I mean, they didn't drastically change the lives in the manner in which African people thought that they would once they gained power. And nobody's ever really did a serious critique on it. And nobody's ever been real honest about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just let it pass. They just let it play out for the way that it's played itself out.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not right to African people, nor is it right for the so-called liberation of African people. You got to change the mindset and
yes,
the relationship
yes.
of how African people see themselves. White people.
Right.
That's the only way we're going to get out of this. We love them too much. We care about them too much. We want to have the things that they have too much. You know, unfortunately, a lot of us just want to be white people.
Yeah. Well, listen,
that's just the fact. That's just the fact of the matter. I don't. Yeah. And I mean, it's kind of harsh to say it.
No,
but
no.
But it's as truthful as it comes.
Right. Well, when you've been trained in that way for so long, for hundreds of years, you know, then you've been trained to hate yourself, to hate your hair, to hate your nose, to hate your lips, the darkness of your skin. You've been trained to hate yourself. And so even today, even during the Black Power movement of the 60s into the 70s, and that was kind of really destroyed in the 70s with other negative images. And then today, I mean, it is exemplified by on the continent and throughout the diaspora of the women who continue to use weave and long ash eyelashes, continue to use bleaching creams and so forth, you know, and even the men, the desire to be with somebody who is light, bright, and damn, or is white, you know. But let me catch another call there, Brother Jay.
Yeah, go ahead. Oh.
All right, thanks, brother. Peace. 443-443, good afternoon. Hey, my brother, how you doing? How you doing, man?
You hear me?
I sure can. Can you hear loud and clear?
Fantastic.
Go ahead. Good.
Brother Oshie, the show is fantastic as usual. Brother Jay, Brother Paul,
yeah.
Research West, they all bring up great points, and I really enjoy listening to them talk. But I was what was on my mind today was the situation with Kanye West. Kanye West is one of these people who has his own issues, as does Donald Trump, as does Obama, as does everybody. But my point is, when the Jewish society decides that they don't want you to talk, because there's no such thing as free speech. All speech has a price. It's consequences. Sure. You can say things. He sure. won't go to jail. But they are coming, and they didn't come for him to kill him, as if the way that the white folks came for King and to kill him. They came for his money.
Right.
So what does that tell you, Oshie? That tells you that these people control your purse strings.
Sure.
And we are going to take your money and make you poor again. So the African, which I am, I don't worship money. I'm a minimalist, Oshie. I can take a backpack and go to Europe and walk around for 4, 5, 6 months, and I'll be all right.
Sure, I hear you.
So when you start to put this in the heads of people, that you don't need a whole closet full of shoes. You don't need 13 European suits, because the sister wears the weave that the white girl, when she wants the white girl hair, when she with the white girls, and for some reason she think that white girl is respecting her because she got hair that looks like hers. But we as black men, we put on a suit. Man, I got this suit on and these alligator shoes, and I'm looking good. You look like a black man in a white man's clothes. That's what you look
that's
like.
That's it. And that's and who you are.
And then, come on, that's all you are. You're no better than the girl with the eyelashes and all the makeup on. Don't get me wrong, makeup was made in Africa.
Right.
Africans know about makeup. We created all of that. But my point is, the men are just as bad as the women.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to look at things from a historical perspective. I know I harp on that a lot, but the one thing they're not talking about, Kanye West and this Jewish thing, is the historical perspective.
Sure.
This ain't the first. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. And the Bible's an instruction book for me, and it does instruct very well. And there is nothing new. This has happened before.
Sure.
You ain't doing nothing new. Kanye, it was Nick Cannon, it was Kevin Hart, it was Snoop Froggy Dogg, all the Jews then came in.
It was Spike Lee. It was Spike Lee. It was Michael Jackson.
Spike Lee.
Michael Jackson.
We can keep going. Yeah. Any black man that has a voice, and you say anything, and they're probably listening to me now, you say anything about a Jew, you're anti-Semitic, and the average person doesn't even know what anti-Semitic means.
Right. They don't even know what Semitic means. The European Jews are not Semitic people. So they really, if you argue against them, you could not really be anti-Semitic. The people of the region are Semitic. They're Arabs. They're Bedouins. They're whoever. Those are Semitic people. And what does Semitic mean? Semite. Semite means half. Semi. Just like a tournament, the semis final, the semifinals. Semites. And but yet they dominate and control Judaism. The Ashkenazis, the late converts to Judaism, they dominate and control it. And so therefore they were able to take Palestine through the efforts of the Balfour Declaration of England and particularly America. They were able to take that land from the Palestinians and continue to dog them out. And of course, for those who are outside, because the Palestinians are Semitic, you know, but for those who are outside of them, who say something against them, they have the label of anti-Semitism, or you're being anti-Semitic, you know? Mm-hmm. But yet, here's a good movie, Brother Irv. Ragtime. Ragtime is a good movie to watch on that particular issue. The dude who in New York who has his kid on a leash and he goes to the tenement houses in the so-called ghetto of living at that at the turn of the century at that time. He finds that his wife was cheating on him, throws her shit out the window, you know, and then he takes his child and they go to California. They go to California. This is this cat named Neil Gabler, European Jew, wrote a book, How the Jews Created Hollywood.
Got the book.
You got the book. There you go. And so what that shows in that movie, Ragtime, is the European Jew in this early stage of development of Hollywood. He has this thing that when you flip the pages, the you know, the character, the silhouette, it moves. It moves. And that's the start of this idea of motion pictures. Silent at first, of course, and then talks later. But the but the impact of motion pictures on human beings in the mind is deep. Because they can present images and figures that will have a profound effect on you. You know, particularly if you watch these images all the time. In fact, when the European Jews first started, one of the first movies was European Jew in blackface. In blackface.
That's correct.
You know?
That is absolutely correct.
Al Jolson. And so continue to perpetuate. So the European Jews were the ones that perpetuated the myth of the ignorant black person. See, so when these people talk about, you know, don't say this, don't say you got to look at the history, understand the history of the damage that they have done to us. In fact, early on, the ship people and the shipping people were European Jews. We're financing
That's
it.
That's correct.
You know, there's so much history there, brother. But you know what, Irv? I'm out of time.
I love it, man. I know it's the 1 o'clock, brother. Oh, yeah. You got to check out. But man, I could go on and on.
You too.
The historical perspective of this is something that has to stay in the forefront because these young people, they don't read. They only see what they're told to see. That's why you have Instagram and Twitter and Facebook Live and World Star. They only see what you put in front of them. And Kanye West is out of his mind, but every now and then, just like Donald Trump, just like Obama, every now and then some truth seeks
right.
out. He said that the rap videos is messing up the children.
Yes.
And the Jews are behind it.
Yes.
Well, he crazy. No, wait a minute.
Look at it. Look at the history and analyze it. I agree.
Hey,
brother. You know?
Come on, Brother Oshie, but I'm going to let you go, brother. We can talk later.
All right.
Thank you for a beautiful show, man, and thanks to everyone who called because these guys are so knowledgeable, man.
Yeah.
And that brother from England, Brother Paul's accent, that takes me somewhere, man, because I was in England for 2.5 years, and it reminds me of how the brother spoke, but he's very knowledgeable, and he's absolutely right with what he's saying.
Hey, man, we are me and Kwaku were talking about going over to England and visit Brother Paul. You know.
Oh, let me know. I'll go.
You gonna run with us?
Job. I don't work no more.
Let's do it, man. Okay.
Let's
do it soon. Maybe in spring of next year or something like that. That'd be great. We could try
let
to see
me know.
Broadcast
hey, look,
from there.
No time like the present. Come
you
on,
know
let's
it.
Do it.
All right, brother.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate you, brother. Peace. Brothers and sisters, we appreciate all those who have called and listened and contributed. Always. I take nothing for granted. But I'm on here whether one person listens or nobody listens or hundreds of thousands of millions of listen. You know, I'm here to make sure that we can have a program that where we can discuss these issues. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program, African Perspectives, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a wonderful day. Hope to see you on Friday. Peace, family.